Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, Ayoni. Hi, everyone. I'm Gina, the senior editor of Polyester.
And I'm Ayoni, the founding editor-in-chief of Polyester. And this is the Polyester Podcast, a feminist pop culture podcast dissecting the discourse on a weekly basis.
Before we start, if you're a fan of this podcast, please make sure to like, rate, and subscribe. And if you really love us, you can sign up for a podcast membership where you get to join our Discord and get on our Instagram Plus friends for only £3 a month. Do we have any reviews, Ayoni?
Yes, so our review is 5 stars obsessed. This show truly has the most insightful, thought-provoking conversations about modern pop culture / internet culture. I really appreciate how they're able to dissect the content we mindlessly consume and add nuance / perspective. Truly a show for the girls. With heart holding hands? How do you say that?
Fingers doing a heart?
Bye. Oedipa via Apple Podcasts in the USA. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a recent review that shocked us to our core, said that we bully each other.
I know.
I'm on best behaviour today.
We're going to be nothing but kind and gracious to each other. I think it's funny because the whole episode we were going, stop bullying me to each other. maybe not thinking that people would think that we are actually bullying each other.
Well, welfare check, we're not bullying each other.
Are you still my best friend?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's nice. You're not going to ask me?
Are you still my best friend?
Yeah.
So today we are talking about Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Blanchard, I'd say, yeah. Who was released from prison on the 28th of December. And is the internet's girl du jour. Is that how you say that?
Yeah, I love saying that. I've been saying it loads recently.
Have you?
All the tweets have been like, the character, du jour. Sorry, I schedule all the tweets.
We're going to go into it. Basically, Gypsy Rose has become the object of the internet's attention. She has been yassified. She has been motherfied.
Baby girled.
Every meme context.
Yeah, it girled, whatever it is. Like, she's the main character of the internet and has been for maybe like the last 2 weeks.
At the moment, yeah. Basically, it's a bit strange. It's a little bit strange.
It's more than that.
Yeah, it's way obscene. More than that. But we're going to go through it. Let's start with who Gypsy is, because some people may not know. Our friend Lewis didn't know. Hi, Lewis. When did the original expose come out?
Let me just click and find out. 2016 or 2017.
So there was an original expose on BuzzFeed News that came out in 2016, and me and Gina were obsessed with it, I will just say now.
Yeah, there's quite a solid core of friends who were, like, obsessed with the story and, like, very, like, just couldn't get our heads around it, I think.
Yeah. So the original BuzzFeed, like, long read is very, like, thorough and has journalistic integrity, I'd say. But here's, like, a very short version of it. So Gypsy Rose Blanchard was born on the 27th of July 1991 to her mother, Dee Dee Blanchard, and her dad, Rod Blanchard.
Oh my God, I didn't realise as well until I read the research that he was 17 and she was 24. Like, they just don't include that in anything.
I know. So her mum basically became convinced that Gypsy Rose was unwell. Like, there's been interviews with Gypsy's dad since that say, like, she was only a few months old when the mother was like, we have to take her to hospital. She got this, she got that, she got this. Her mother told Gypsy that she had muscular dystrophy and needed a walker. When she was around 7 or 8 years old, she was involved in a minor motorcycle accident with her grandfather, in which she obtained a minor knee abrasion. After this, Dee Dee told her that she needed a wheelchair. It goes on. So then Hurricane Katrina destroyed their home in Louisiana. And then Dee Dee and Gypsy lived in a rented home in southwestern Missouri. During their time there, they kind of like got involved in loads of charities and stuff. She started living with a feeding tube. In 2008, Habitat for Humanity built them a small home with a wheelchair ramp and hot tub as part of a larger project on the north side of Springfield. And the two, Mum and Gypsy, moved there. By this time, the parents had been like long split up. I think they broke up when she was like 4 or something. But she still maintained a relationship with her father. Anyway, so it kind of goes like on and on. She was living in this like charitable neighborhood, made friends with the neighbors. Like, apparently they used to put like cinema screenings on at the side of their house and pay their neighborhood kids to come and watch it. And then all of the proceeds would go to like Gypsy's care. Gypsy had all of her teeth removed. She wore like milk bottle glasses. Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
She had like a really high voice. She had no hair. Her mum told her that she had cancer and something else, I think, but I can't remember.
She said the treatment for your illnesses will make your hair fall out anyway, so we're just going to shave your head.
Yeah, so all in all, Dee Dee let Gypsy have no freedom, basically. Like, she couldn't have friends, she'd go on the internet, and then like the internet would be taken away from her if she was talking to people. She eventually met a person online. What's his name again? Nicholas
something.
She met a woman called Nick and kind of like schemed to meet him by going to cinema, and then they ended up fucking in the bathroom of the cinema, which was the bathroom. Lots of people say that lots of people on the internet now are like, oh, it was in the cinema.
No, it was in the bathroom.
In the cinema. And then, blah, 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 she keeps seeing him, blah, blah, blah. Not seeing him, but like talking
online,
to him.
Yeah.
Relationship. And eventually, Gypsy and Nicholas plan to kill the mother, Dee Dee, because Gypsy's obviously kind of realised that her situation isn't normal. The way that the world is alerted to this is because there's like a Facebook post that Nicholas writes on Dee Dee's wall where it's like, I killed the bitch. I can't remember what it actually
said. It's got like a shared Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I think that she did a status being like, I've killed the bitch, like, we're free, something like that.
And then lots of neighbours like gathered and stuff. Apparently there's already kind of interest growing in their situation because like Dee Dee would kind of acquire a lot of charitable stuff for Gypsy, like she did Make-A-Wish, they go to Disneyland, they go on holidays, they have this home and this hot tub. So people, alarm bells were already ringing for some people that like it wasn't all as it seemed.
Yeah, and I think Gypsy was kind of like telling her friend as well, being like, oh, I've got a boyfriend online, I've got all this, and they didn't know whether she was like just making it up or if it was true or not. So when it all kicked off, that's how they kind of found Nick, because they like alerted the police, being like, oh, she did mention that she's got an online boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. And so they got to the house. Dee Dee had been killed. Gypsy wasn't there, so everyone kind of assumed the worst. Gypsy was found like 3 days later, I think, in like a motel or something. And she was found walking and her hair was growing back. So everyone was like, well, what's going on? Anyway, so Dee Dee had, or is like thought to have had Munchausen's by proxy. You can't actually diagnose Munchausen's by proxy if the person that did it is dead. So like, it's not speculation, but as in there's, it's not determined that she did, but obviously she did. Gypsy went to prison for 10 years for murdering her mother. Basically, it was Nicholas that stabbed her. And yeah, Gypsy,
I think
she served 8. Obviously, she was kind of like, she experienced like a tirade of abuse growing up, blah, 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 blah. All of this stuff was like forced upon her, like all the illnesses, everything, shaving head, like she didn't have any freedom.
Yeah, and she was like heavily drugged and like given medication that would make her have symptoms of illnesses. Like, it wasn't like she was fighting fit and was like, oh, I'm just being told I'm unwell.
Yeah, and they saw like thousands of doctors and like wouldn't take no for an answer.
She had like a feeding tube and all that.
Moved around a lot. Like, Dee Dee lied about her age and said she was younger than she was, so she could still like remain control over her, like changed her birth certificate and stuff. Anyway, so there was a trial. Both Nicholas and Gypsy went to prison. I think Nicholas went for life.
Yeah, Nicholas got life.
And Gypsy went for 10 years, served 8, and she was released December 28th, 2023, which brings us to the now.
Yeah, so like in the 2 weeks, maybe a month running up to Gypsy's release, there was already I think, interest online that was kind of inappropriate, that was being like, I'm going to be there, I'm going to give her her first vape, I'm going to be at the gates and I'm going to play her the Lana Del Rey album.
Mm-hmm.
And like countdowns to Gypsy's release with like Nicki Minaj songs on and stuff like that. Like people were already going back wild before she came out. And I think I didn't think that she would be doing, I guess, a press tour, even though obviously she's got the documentary out. So I thought like maybe it would just be people going mad and then we don't really see much of like what her life, new life is like. But she has been doing the rounds with the press, which I think you've mentioned in the research. Why shouldn't she?
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, I think that's kind of like spurred it on to continue because she's given like interviews and there's all these quotable bits and there's hosts who don't know how to react to her and things like that.
Yeah, so she was memeified before her release, really, like with fan cams and like people being like, slay queen, slay queen, slay, whatever. All of this other stuff. There was a good TikTok that I saw on Twitter. Lol. Let me just get it up now and find out the person's name. It was by Veronica Scalia, I think. Yeah. And she was kind of talking about like the life cycle of influencing online or like. So basically, I feel like Gypsy is being put into what essentially is like a reality TV contestant, like the way we treat reality TV contestants when they leave their shows, which is like really disgusting and like. I think emblematic of the way we view true crime, like we do just view it as entertainment, like even how obsessed we were, for example, in 2016, we were, how old were we, like 22, so obviously we were a bit, like, not clever. kind of shows just, like, how exploitative these stories are and how we really are just, like, mining real experiences that often include, like, a lot of pain for people into content and the life cycle that we put these people on. And it's like not necessarily just young women, but I feel like young women are more likely to get the like yes slay queen treatment of it all, do you know what I mean? Or like also lots of these articles that I've referenced in our research have compared her to George Santos and Anna Delvey, and I think that is bizarre, like a really bizarre move, because Anna Delvey and George Santos, that is his name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously two people that have like sought fame and notoriety. Like Anna Delvey quite literally wanted to be part of like an upper class and like part of that world anyway, and then George Santos is definitely like gaming the system, whereas like Gypsy Rose hasn't asked for any of this. Like she's not like memeifying herself, like we don't even, it's unlikely that she really knows what the internet encompasses because she's never been on it. Like she went into prison after being held in like an abusive environment in which she had no autonomy. I think she was on Facebook where she met her boyfriend, right?
It was on like Christian Mingle.
Exactly. My boy.
Yeah, literally.
Has been in prison for 8 years, which is not to say that she's like infantilized, but obviously like contact is limited in that situation. Then has come out and she's like not going to understand the nuance of what like an ironic fan cam is.
Yeah, I think it's complicated with the true crime stuff because true crime's at an all-time high, like it's just become accepted that we're all interested in it and like it's become accepted that that's part of the human psyche and it's become accepted that there's about a billion documentaries about really horrible cases online and on Netflix or whatever. And I was thinking about it when I was reading the research. I was like, I feel like this situation is unique because usually with those, the victims are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're all put in a unique position because the victim is the one who's left standing, I guess. And mm-hmm. it's kind of like that, not, I don't want to say the final girl trope, but she has been like deified, like given this heroine status when it's just, it's not black and white. Like you can't pile loads of attention on someone who's got so much like trauma to deal with, I think.
Mm-hmm. And this TikTok was kind of like talking about the life cycle that this girl thinks that Gypsy Rose will go for. And it was like, yeah, everyone loves her, like slay queen, oh my God, icon. And then she'll do something weird. Like for example, so loads of people are being mean about her husband, whose name is Ryan.
Yeah.
Because he's fat, I assume, is the reason why.
Yeah, definitely.
And being like, oh, he's not good enough for you or whatever. Like, slay, mama, you could do so much better. And she replied, like, the D is fire. He's whatever. What's it called? Like, I'm fine, basically. But yeah. She said the D is fire. And everyone's like, oh. So then the next stage of it is like, the person does something a bit unexpected, aka the deer's fire, and then everyone starts to think, oh, like as soon as the subject catches on to the attention, and starts playing up for it, people usually go really cold on it and like, oh, they're too big for the boots now. And then, for example, she'll get like a brand campaign or a cover or something like this. And then everyone will be like, well, who does she think she is? Because she did actually kill her mum, which I'm already seeing.
Things it's literally saying that. Fucking the plot of Chicago.
I haven't seen Chicago, you know this about me.
But yeah, I do think people are going to turn on her soon. It's kind of like when Britney got out of the guardianship and then she just carried on being weird online because like, why, like she has every right to just use her social media presence however she wants. And then people were like, no, she's clearly unhinged. Like she did actually do need to be in the guardianship, like without getting any like fucking deep thoughts into it.
Which also is not true. Like it just shows such a fundamental misunderstanding for what guardianships are as
abusive
situations as well. Like Didi put Gypsy in a guardianship, like when she was 18, so then she could retain control over her. Like I feel like people just don't have the range to be talking about these subjects like in meme ways because it is actually very serious, and especially when we're talking about like abuse or mental health issues or whatever, it's like you don't have the empathy, not you personally, but like your average like person that's sending Gypsy Rose to Gag City on AI does not have any empathy for her. Like they have literally flattened her to like an emblem of a.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Celebrity?
Yeah, it's just a passing time that they're like, who can make the funniest joke? Who can make the funniest meme?
Like, she's not a human. We treat like actors and people on reality shows and people in true crime situations and other celebrities as if they were characters, like as if they're like, fiction, works of fiction.
Yeah, especially anyone who gets escalated to like as an icon that quick.
Yeah, and celebrities, like actual celebrities, that's not like a diss. I mean, like people that have come up in fame have like certain protections around them to ensure that doesn't happen. And it does seem that Gypsy Rose has come out of prison very media trained, but that doesn't necessarily mean that she's like being sheltered from any of the attention she's getting, which it doesn't sound like she is if she's replying to comments herself.
Yeah, and when you said, when you listen to a podcast, I watch the TV show, you listen to the podcast, and in that she's been like, I don't want to be famous. Like she's gone from one extreme of being abused and completely like taken control of by like one individual, then by the like incarceral system, I don't know if that's the right word, and then by the
it sounded great.
And then now it is by like the general public. Like she's been never been allowed to own herself. And I don't think she'll really ever get the space unless she like literally just fucks it all off.
Yeah, or unless she gets cancelled.
And I think that's what was interesting, again, in the research that you've done, was the bit being like, she's arguably a young woman. Getting, it's like fucking Candyland to her. Like obviously you'd be online just replying to stuff and looking at stuff and be like, oh my God, all these people love me. Ha ha, look at this. Oh my God, look at this. Oh my God, I can post all these pictures. Oh, I've just got my nails done. Let's post a picture of that. Like, she's finally getting to, like, do those normal girl things, normal in, like, rabbit fingers. She's finally getting to do those things. but it's on the world stage. Like, she won't be able to, like, make mistakes online like we all did when we first used the internet.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I haven't watched the Lifetime documentary series that she's done because I don't know if it's out here.
No, I've not seen it. I saw the original documentary series.
Mum, Dad and Dearest.
Yeah, which was good. I think it really portrayed that she kind of had nothing to do with the planning to kill her mom. And then the act, oh my God, it's literally her on
TV. Most exploitative thing that's ever existed in
the
world.
I know, really made me disappointed in Patricia Arquette, I'll just say that, that much.
People keep asking her in this press tour as well, like, oh, have you watched the act? And she was asked in this podcast that I listened to, which is The Vile Files, going deep with Gypsy Rose Blanchard. I think, although I don't watch The Bachelor, I don't even think we have The Bachelor here, do we?
No, we don't have it, yeah.
It's the one guy that was in The Bachelor, because I saw loads of people being like, oh, why has he got her to do, like, the first one? And his wife or girlfriend? I don't know.
Right.
Anyway, so, like, it's, like, 3 hours long, in which I was like, this is way too much.
3 hours for a podcast? Could you imagine?
Yeah, it's one of those YouTube ones, so you have to watch the whole thing. It's,
if they want to see bullying on the internet, if they want to see us bully each other, then put us on a podcast for three hours.
And it's really interesting because, yeah, they like asked her about the act and then she was like, no, I haven't watched it. She was like, even talking about what happened to me, I will go home tonight and have a nightmare about it. Like, I get such vivid nightmares that I'm working through in therapy. And so, yeah, I don't think I need to relive it in that way. And they were like trying to, and then she was like, oh, yeah, like, they said I had hamsters when I actually had cats or something. I don't know. Basically saying it wasn't accurate. But then he literally pushes her and is like, well, what's one of the nightmares you have? And it was just like,
that's obscene. That's so, like, cruel. Like, imagine if you had a relative, and I hate this, like, way that we have to contextualize caring about someone. Mm. But imagine, like, your sister, your best friend, went through something horrible and was like, I'm having really bad nightmares. And then your dickhead mate was like, oh, what are the nightmares? You'd go ape shit at them. So why is it allowed? Because under, like, it's journalism, podcast, it's podcast, it's podcasting, it's journalism. Like, the people want to know. The people shouldn't get to know.
And it's really weird because they, like, go from that to calling her, like, the quintessential influencer because she's, like, trying everything in the world for the first time. Like, the host says that, not her herself. And she's just like, yeah. Like, literally just doesn't know what to say about it.
Her like she's a kid who's just come out of the fucking woods. They have stuff in prison.
Yeah, I know.
They have a lot of things in prison.
She's like, oh, they make it like a home in there. Like, you have like a nice little room and like blah, 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 blah. Like, have loads of best friends in there that like taught me about adulthood. Yeah, but people literally treat her as if she was in like solitary for.
Yeah, like it's fucking the Jungle Book.
Like, stuff gets into prison quite easily and you have TV as well.
Yeah, honestly, just because she's not seen the TV show about her fucking life that's obscene doesn't mean that she doesn't know what the, like, Real Housewives are. I'm sure she's seen an episode.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, they were asking her about that as well. They're like, oh, do you like Real Housewives? And she was like, no, I like TLC shows. TLC? Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. Like, she likes, like, the even trashier reality shows, which, fair enough.
Yeah, good for her.
And then she talks about, and she's saying how her professional goals are she used her platform for something good and getting into advocacy work, that she wants to network with more established people, and that she didn't expect to have a big social media following when she comes out, and said that it was all well and good to have fun for a while, like, for example, selfies, but she wants to use her platform for more, something that's more important. And then he asks her if she has a desire to disappear. This guy is, like, obviously a prick. And she says that she has, like, a love-hate relationship with the media and attention, that she's come to accept it, but it used to make her cry on her bed and say she wanted a normal life, which, like, obviously, like, imagine you have, like, a horrible life for the first, like, 20 years you're alive or whatever it is, and then suddenly every single person knows about it, like, on the world and is interested.
Yeah,
and also
talk to you
thinks
about
that you're complicit.
And wants to talk to you about it.
Yeah. And then, basically, she was engaged before she was married to Ryan, to a guy called Ken, and he broke it off with her because he didn't like the attention. So then that, like, compounded her not liking the media even more. She, like, compounded her heartbreak with her fame, and it made her spiral. But she said that seeing how she's been welcomed has made her more comfortable, but she still doesn't love it.
You were done.
But then they bring Ryan in, and I feel like Ryan plays up to the media a bit as well.
Yeah, it's weird that he, like, he's a school teacher, isn't he? Like, why? How, I'm sure he needs to get sacked.
I know.
How can you kids take you serious if you're like, if it was the British school system, I'll tell you now, it would last a day.
Like, he does seem very sweet, and it looks like she's relying on him a lot, and I'm trying not to, like, make any projections, because that's, like, part of the problem here, that people are projecting their, like thoughts of, as to how she's going to be feeling and stuff, but it is bizarre. And he's like talking about how he's like threatened to like punch and like hurt men that have gone after her and stuff, but it's all just very like, what's going on?
There's people like openly laugh, like, oh, what was the thing? The way like they're being treated as well, like specifically by the media, like not just people making memes, like specifically by the media, like this press tour. Like I saw a video where it's the two of them and they're like writing on whiteboards and saying like, what Disney princess do you think I am?
He says Tangled.
Right, I'm just going to leave that there because I don't think it's funny.
It's not funny, it's bizarre. And what does she say? Frozen, which makes sense.
Anna, the like sister.
Oh, the sister?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know Frozen that well.
Anna's the like outgoing one who like can't freeze shows.
Who what?
Can't do the freezing.
Oh, okay. Anyway. I thought it'd be like the empowered one that like breaks three or whatever.
But yeah, like why the fuck are they doing the fucking the Wired autofill quiz?
Yeah, she's just like got they're going to be with like puppies on BuzzFeed.
No, literally, it's upsetting because why? Not only, it's like, it just feels like insane to me. Like, I just can't get my head around it. Like, why is she, not that she doesn't deserve it, well, kind of, I don't know.
It also feels like uniquely exploitative because yeah, we all know that, like, the justice system doesn't really set up people that leave prison for having good or easy lives. Like, we all know that the justice system and the prison system is exploitative. Like, it, and yeah, it ruins people's lives, basically. So, my inference has been that she's obviously doing the documentaries and stuff because she cares about it, but she also needs to make money. Like, she, equally, she can't go like work at McDonald's. Do you know what I mean? She can't like go get an office job. So she's been doing these documentaries. She's probably getting paid for all the press appearances, or at least paid by Lifetime.
Yeah, I hope so.
And so it's like she also does actually have to do that to make money.
Yeah, I saw there's an interesting bit in your research. Another interesting bit in your research.
Thank you.
That was saying like it's just also kind of weird when you look at it from a wider picture thing, not necessarily just about Gypsy, like this wildly inconsistent approach to criminality was the quote. And it just got me thinking, like, how would this case be approached if Gypsy wasn't like this petite white woman?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Like, literally. Yeah, there's also, I feel like the people even criticizing it kind of, there's some really good pieces that have already come out that are like, we shouldn't be memifying her, but some are a bit strange to me. So the really good one is, which I can't find. Okay. Gypsy Rose Blanchard was convicted of murder. Now she's being yassified by EJ Dixon for Rolling Stone. I think it's, this is, so what was somehow surprising, however, is much of the general public leaned into the sympathy. So this writer is basically saying that they're actually quite surprised. And they're saying that like there was Scream Queens edits, fan edits set to Nicki Minaj, all of this kind of stuff is just really, really odd. And then also saying that, like, Gypsy is distinct from Anna Delvey or George Santos in that she's pretty much unilaterally and accurately viewed as a victim. But the thing about victims that we have to realize is that they are complicated. They don't have to be charismatic or funny or smart or even decent people to be victims. The thing about victims is sometimes their stories aren't easily commodifiable via Lifetime series or redeemable Zara-sponsored TikTok content. Sometimes their stories are just sad. And the thing about victims is their status does not prevent them from creating more victims, which is like a bit of a dark thing. But I think it's like true.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, we're not at the point, we just don't know how to talk about like cycles of abuse. Like, obviously so much about how we talk about like victims of other types of abuse shows that we can't really talk about abuse online. Like, we're just not normal.
Yeah, there's no lexicon for it, there's no vocabulary for it, like we haven't worked out how to, and there's no real like prevention of it, I suppose, like actively.
And then another one that I thought was really weird was there's an ID article, Stan Culture's lost sight of its limits when Gypsy Rose Blanchard breached the gates of Gag City, all bets were finally off. And it makes some like really clever points, but I suppose it just falls into the kind of like trap of maybe, I don't know, of like being too self-referential, and it kind of ends up taking the tone, the kind of slightly mocking tone, in my opinion, that people are applying to her on the internet. And also, they're not just they're giving her no depth. So it's like, how does someone cling on to relevancy in the wake of such weird fame? They pivot and diversify, become pop stars or porn stars, or release tell-all books that the kids of the internet are unlikely to pick up and read. And it's like,
there's a whole industry of that.
That's such a like weird thing to like turn over without comment about how like women are commodifiable entities.
Yeah, literally.
Like, it's just like, this is what they do. Like, oh.
Those are your three options. Wonder which one she's going to pick.
Yeah, like, be a porn star, be a pop star, or write a book that no one cares about.
Miserable.
Gina looks really upset. Like, obviously, it's not funny, but Gina just absolutely, like, looks like a heartbroken at that.
I just feel really sad for her, because I just feel like we're on the cusp of something bad happening to her. And she's
like watching a car crash for
and
sure.
She's had enough horrible shit happen to her, and I feel sad because we don't really have an answer of what to do, like what to
change. I think the thing to do is to stop memeifying people on the internet.
Yeah. Like, it's never going to fucking happen. Or...
On a much lighter note, like on a much different case, it's like, I feel like we all have one like memed person that we wonder where they are now. And for me, it's the berries and cream man.
Oh my God. Do you not know that he was like, he's like a dance teacher in New York?
Yeah. But then what do you do after the, your like paper magazine spread? You just go back to being a dancer and everyone's like, oh, that's the weird berries and cream man.
Yeah. No, honestly, because his, me and Eden found his website and on it was like, he's done theatre performances that are akin to abortion on the stage. And we were going, what the hell? It's been so dramatic on the theatre stage that you got garnered that review.
Like, I just feel like there's such a difference between people, and even him, a gypsy, is obviously so different in so many ways, but I feel like there's such a difference between people that, like, actively seek fame, especially online. Like, for example, Trisha, like, I found it so illuminating in her interview with Jordan, where she was like, oh yeah, I just follow what's popular and follow the money. Like, I don't mind like switching around and doing things. Like, with that, you kind of build in a bit of a hard shell to like that the internet is probably going to be shit to you at some point in your life. But Gypsy's not really going to have any of that.
I think we're going to just have, it's sad because we just have to like watch it play out.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's another option, like just try and disengage from it. But my whole For You page is...
Yeah, I was deleting Twitter because I was like, I just can't.
Yeah.
I just literally can't look at this anymore. And that's saying something for me. Like, I've just deleted the app of my phone.
That is saying something for me.
I literally was like, I'm sick of this. Yeah. Either that or fuck insult me. And I was like, nah, delete them.
Yeah,
just
get enough. If you've seen me in real life, do not talk to me about Saltburn unless you're giving me praise.
Praise and pisses. Yeah. Or say that we are bullies.
No, don't call me a bully in real life. I think I'll crumble. I think I'll actually just like have another breakdown right there. And then. Wow.
And then we can make a meme of it.
Yeah, and then we can be a meme and then it can be like the comeback tour.
The comeback tour. Yeah. Right.
All right. Thank you, Gina.
Thank you, Ione.
Thank you, Olivia, for editing. We will see you next week.
Love you. Bye. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.